And welcome, everybody, here on YouTube.
Hi.
That was the voice of Kyle, who has made it over to the YouTube side of things.
Yep.
And looks like Rob T. Firefly and Gila are out there in Skype land. And maybe you could verify that we are also on YouTube so that we don't spend the whole hour talking to ourselves.
We are indeed.
Okay, good.
On YouTube. And also, welcome to the people who are here.
Yes.
And I have to mute my YouTube because the lag is killing me here.
I'm sorry to hear that. Looks like we also have Alex. I'm happy to see Alex. I thought he wasn't going to join us for YouTube, being in Bangkok and all.
Yeah, I'm here. I'll probably drop in like 10-15 minutes or so. I just want to say hello to everybody.
What time is it in Bangkok, if you don't mind me asking?
It is exactly 12 hours ahead, so it is it's 8 a.m. here.
Wow.
Sun is out.
And it's also, it's Thursday, too, right?
It is. It's Thursday, so it is tomorrow here. It's the morning.
Okay, can you tell us what Trump has done on Thursday? Because, you know, it'd be nice to have some advance warning.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to be in the morning here when you turn on the news, turn on the television, and then you start seeing the news from yesterday. And it's, you know, watching CNN and it shows the evening. It does feel kind of weird if you're watching something in the past. It's odd.
You feel like you know more than we do because you're in the future.
Well, I often feel like that. Yeah. But
I know. That's the attitude you carry to any conversation. That's definitely true. Rob, I believe you had something as well.
Just jumping in on what we were speaking about on our radio hour, we were mentioning Blue Sky, and while we were talking about that, a listener over on Mastodon, who's known as Dr. 47, graced us with a link about how Blue Sky is now owned by crypto grifters. So,
what the hell is that?
They've raised a $15 million Series A financing led by a blockchain capital type group. And
is this good or bad? Yeah. I can't figure it out. Crypto grifters. I don't know how to take that.
It is being roundly described on this blog post, which is talking about it by a prominent programmer known as JWZ, that it is a completely bad thing.
For crying out loud, folks, can we get anything right? You know, all we need to do is communicate. Gila, please. You have no sound, Gila.
Sorry, I was turning my fan off. So I also wanted to follow up on something we were talking about on the radio hour. And actually, I'm kind of glad that I'm not talking about it on the radio. I'm talking about it here because I'm no longer beholden to FCC regulations.
Here we go.
Let's talk about period apps for a second, because obviously I have a slightly different perspective on this than the rest of the panel. Mm-hmm. Some of you may remember a few months ago when I said, don't use them, get yourself a pocket calendar and a pen, maybe a red pen, mark it for yourself. That is most of what I'm saying. So I was thinking about two things. First of all, if it's a German company, are they does subpoena power have the same regulations internationally? That was thing number one I was thinking about. Thing number two is if they won't comply with a subpoena, they still didn't say they're not selling the information to anyone. And number three, and most importantly, if you are a person who is actively in your reproductive years now and actively getting a period, I implore you to find a better system for tracking your cycle than using an online tracker. But if you are not a person who is actively dealing with a menstrual cycle and you felt like getting on one of these period tracking apps and just fucking shit up just to see, that might be real fun. And there's actually a movement that's spreading on social media to get men specifically to make up fake data to mess it up when they invariably try to get it. The app people are pushing for this is indeed called Flow, I am sorry to say. But this is a fun little piece of hackery civil disobedience that I would encourage anyone who is not an actively menstruating person to pull off. So That's
okay,
my two cents.
Well, it's great to be included. So, wow. All right. I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing when you were pointing it out, because you looked a bit angry when you were saying it. So, messing up the data. I've always been in favor of messing up the data, because if you don't give them accurate data, they can't be certain as to where you are, what you are, who you are, any of that. And that's what we all want.
Exactly. So people are actually referring to this as tracking the menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
You know, you could have said most of that on the radio, and hopefully next week you will.
Yeah, but the fuck shit up part was kind of what I was waiting for here. So again, the people are referring to it as tracking your menstrual cycle mm-hmm. for the day. And also, so the more realistic you can make it, the better. But it doesn't have to be. Seriously, just make it up.
Right.
But get the stuff in there to cross the wires sooner rather than later.
All right, good advice, good advice. Alex, are you packing? Looks like you're packing.
I am. I have to leave today. So
is that how you fold a shirt? I mean, who told you how to do that? It's
yeah. Well, I'm trying to be most efficient here. I'm rolling everything in because I have a bunch of stuff I'm bringing home, and I got to pick up a suit. You know, there's all these custom tailors around Bangkok. One in my hotel, and I had to wait 3 hours last week after going through all that traffic while I was on the air. In order to get into my room, and so I went to some tailor and had a double-breasted suit made. So
and you're just getting it now?
I am. Yeah, I'm getting it today.
Hang on, you've been there a week. You're leaving today, and now you're getting a suit.
Well, it was made. It was handmade suit.
I'm sure it is. That's not the issue. The issue is you're leaving. What do you need the suit for?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to wear it at home. I'm going to wear it in New York.
You went to Thailand to get a suit to wear at home?
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't intend to get a suit.
You know what's crazy is you live a stone's throw away from the garment district in New York City, too.
I do.
You did not have to go to Thailand for this.
Well, I didn't. But the sad thing is, you know, a custom tailored suit, a bespoke suit in New York would run you a hell of a lot more. And I had time to kill. So, you know, why not? Why not just go get a suit made? I know you're not really in favor of suits, but, you know, some of us have to wear them sometime.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but just, okay, you know what? It's you live your life. That's great.
I'm happy for you. I don't know how I'm going to fit it into this small suitcase.
Which would have been the next thing I would have brought up is, do you have a means of carrying it back? Or are you going to fold it like you just folded that shirt? Which I got to say is an abomination. You do not save anything by doing that. You're wasting space. It's going to be wrinkly. I would say again.
Wasting space. I don't know why I brought a sweatshirt with me. That was idiotic to bring a sweatshirt to Bangkok.
To provide humor to the people there. That why else?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I would like to do it. Why don't we do one phone call?
Okay.
And and then I'll drop after that because I got to get in the shower, get in meetings and things in 52 minutes here.
It's too bad you couldn't have gotten the suit so that you could wear it to the meetings.
Yeah, I guess I could wear it home. That would really, you know, wrinkle it up, though. Got like 21 hours worth of flying ahead of me.
Well, you'll be the best dressed person on the plane.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true.
All right, phone number is 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. If there's anything you would like to say to us here at Overtime, we would love to hear from you. We have a bit of listener mail. This is from Entity Incognito, who tells me it's somebody who doesn't want to be identified. And hopefully I didn't blow their cover by saying that. Now that Elon Musk is going to be part of Trump's administration, how long until the NSA has unfettered access to all traffic going through Starlink, assuming they don't already? Good question. You're giving these people a lot of power, a lot of control, a lot of access. And they are some of the worst people in the world. you know, at this point, just sitting back with fascination and seeing how bad it's going to get, that's kind of going to be my life, I guess. because not much we can do to stop it.
Yeah, it look what the lengths and value they'll put on your speech. You know, look at what it's becoming. And I think the point about it being a time to maybe reflect on where you're the cost benefit, you know, things that are really easy to use that are actually not something you can control. They take about as much work. That's something that's come up for me, that in all of this, it's a lot of work to do that, to make accounts. It takes as much work to go to some tutorial and learn how to build a website, as Rob was pointing out. And you, in the long run, will control that and learn a heck of a lot. So that stuff, I mean, we talk about and is one of those areas that I think this this whole moment really is beckoning. It's calling for people to be really thoughtful about what the companies that are doing this benefit from, what they're doing with your speech. You're placing it on this platform because some high status individual, not even like in your sort of working professional class, like influencer or somebody or a news organization validates that platform, and even the government validating it for their public relations messaging. And yeah, often these are all cited on other media so that they can, especially traditional media like TV, they refer to these platforms for different, what it used to be, for different brand sort of identification across media platforms. And it in being where those entities are, it makes it more, I always felt it was more like social commerce. And for me, I just want to put it out there, like, none of this ever worked. None of it ever worked for me, like, to socialize or to use it as it was intended. Like, yeah, it still doesn't, and I don't think it never will.
For most, like, people, it doesn't. No.
To curate my social life and organize all of that in all one place, like, it just doesn't really work fundamentally. Like, I think even if there's inherent loneliness, like, forging human relationships the old way and by chance, or, you know, honing other sort of life skills, I think I'll be a better person, much in the same way like building your own site. It gives you a certain amount of independence, you gain a lot of skills in the process, and you get the result you're looking for with more reliability, instead of sort of riding the wave with these tech entrepreneurs and their sort of ever-changing mission.
Yeah,
especially when investment dynamics hit, and I don't know, like, it's I don't have much more to say about it, and that is, I think, very constructive. And I'm amazed at how tame and, like, resigned people are to allow these things to be validated as the go-to.
Because they don't see alternatives. They don't see a way out. What you're saying makes a lot of sense.
It's like society cosplaying sheep, like, mm-hmm, for real. Like, people, yeah, realize it. They know it. We've talked about it. There's information abound. And they're still just kind of like, let's talk about this and make a little bit here and carve out, like, this whole idea of, like, a personal brand is like a farce, but it's part of that whole, like, ecosystem that is, as I said, like, social commerce. And we already know that that's what was monetized around engagement, right, and stuff, and to fuel ads and the like.
The real problem.
So these federated platforms that are different and structurally more aligned with running something yourself, I think in the long run are the way to go, or will have more social benefit in these small, peculiar ways. Sorry.
I think the real problem, though, is that, and this is really on us as well as on the platforms, but we pay more attention to the person speaking the words rather than the words themselves. So that way, you know, if you say something, doesn't mean anything. Nobody responds, maybe one or two people. If an influencer, quote unquote, says something, all of a sudden it's trending because they said it. And that's not the way it should be. But we embrace that kind of thing all the time on so many different levels. And maybe we have an opportunity now to do something a little bit different.
But but think about the entities that are they're perpetuating it. They are like large media companies. Right. They're already gatekeepers and controllers of speech.
And we keep giving that control back to them.
We're like in what an artificial walled town square, and we by just like railing against the way it works, by it not being actually a free place or a place that is a true reflection of the commons, mm-hmm. right? Civil commons,
right?
Shall we say? It's self-defeating. Like you're not ever going to be satisfied with it, and they're only going to. It is only ever going to be a mediated speech environment, and the trick of convincing you that I'm on here and I have this many followers, therefore my speech is more valid or I have more reach, is totally and always has been an utter joke.
Yeah.
It might be good for like a business.
That would be interesting
to have reach.
It was if that information wasn't given to you, you did not know how many followers you had. You did not know how much of a reach you actually were getting for the words that you spoke, and nobody else did either. But if your words meant something to them, they would help spread your words around. Maybe you'd realize that a lot of people are saying the things you're saying, but you wouldn't be able to carry that as like proof that you're more important, because you're not more important. If you're a celebrity, you're already a celebrity. Enjoy that. But let's have a level playing ground for everybody who is speaking on a particular platform. We have not gotten that right yet, and I'm just hoping the destruction of Twitter will lead to something a little bit better. Can I just point out, Kyle, I think we might have turned the ringer off on the phone, which is why we don't hear the phone.
No, you have a call.
Oh, I didn't hear the ring. Okay.
I didn't either. It is off, though.
I was right. It was off. All right. So sorry about that, folks, if anybody called and went somewhere else. We have a call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel, calling from a Linux box.
Hi, we seem to have a hum on this line. Is that our line,
Kyle? No, I think that was just that retarded Stop and Shop. No, I don't know that the retarded Stop and Shop.
What?
And now I'm in the aisle. So, yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? That was
another thing you heard.
I'm hearing a hum now. Hold on. Before we continue with Rebel, is that our hum, Kyle, or is that his hum? It's our hum?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to continue talking to Rebel and the hum, and you're going to try and get rid of the hum. And we'll just see what happens. Okay. Go ahead, Rebel. What's on your mind?
Okay. I'm calling from a Linux box.
You're calling from a Linux box? It finally happened. It finally happened.
Well,
you fell in.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you how to get out. All right. Are you in root or are you user directory?
No, I'm here.
Okay, Rebel's trapped in a Linux box, so the hum is not helping.
Linux Mint with Cinnamon Edition.
Uh-huh. Anybody, feel free to step in here and help Rebel. Apparently he's trapped. No?
I just don't know. Somebody told me I want to use asterisk, but that's too complicated. So is there any, like, phone things for Linux? Like, if they like Google Voice, like you have Google Voice and your phone number, does Linux have something similar?
I'm not the person to ask about that. Rob, looks like you might know something.
I didn't hear the question.
You didn't hear the question? When were you going to mention that? Okay, wait, I think we fixed the hum?
Maybe.
Well, we either got rid of the hum or we got rid of the hum and Rebel. Rebel, are you still there?
No, you didn't get rid of us.
No, I didn't say us. I said, okay, the hum is gone. Thank you, Kyle. What'd you do?
a button on.
Hang on, Kyle's explaining what he did. What did you do, Kyle?
A button on our new compressor.
You need to ground the phone. Rebel, I'm going to turn you off. There, I can't seem to allow other people to speak. I'm sorry, Kyle, for the third time. What did you do?
A button I unpressed on our compressor was needing to be pressed.
You know, just because it's a compressor doesn't mean you have to press everything. All right, Rebel, you're back.
Yes. Okay. Maybe you should have grounded the phone. You know, I'm taking.
Maybe you should be grounded. You ever think about that? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm taking the ham radio test tomorrow.
You're taking the ham radio test tomorrow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even if I don't pass it, it's just for the knowledge and for, you know, just for, because, you know, just learning the electrical and radio theory.
I am sure you'll pass it, and if you don't pass it, you'll pass it next time, but it's good on you for taking the test.
Right. Yeah, it's really complicated, the all the things and the, you know, like how antennas work and everything.
Yeah, it's complicated if you're trying to, you know, make everything work, and you're in the middle of a storm or something, but you're taking a test. The questions have all been asked before. All you have to do is read through the material, and you'll get it.
Okay. Let's see. What else? So Linux. I like Linux. It's a very efficient computing experience.
Okay. Gosh, no one ever said that before. Yeah, I guess it is. Welcome to Linux.
Yeah, and I like the, you know, I got a nice new. I told you about the all-in-one computer I have, right?
Yes, it's like a terminal sort of.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I have a, you know, everything, all the intelligence is inside the monitor. With a 1 gigabyte solid state drive.
One terabyte
solid state drive, right.
Wow.
With 16 gigs of memory. We're at 16 gigs of RAM.
Well, that is impressive.
Yeah, we're all happy for you, as far as this
and,
goes.
And I, you know, have this nice, you know, keyboard that, you know, with the ambient lighting, you know, just like that. And it sounds like a terminal. Now, when I go on the links, rather, I used to use the LYNX.
This is all so you could get links to run, isn't it?
Right.
All right.
Well, not only that, but now I use the LINKS browser, which is easier. But it did, when you type links, it just, you know, you have to use a pull down menu. It's not like links LYNX where you type links LYNX and then it just gives you a menu, welcome to links and all this other stuff. It just the LINKS. Is a little easier.
Hang on. We're saying goodbye to Alex. He's gone. Okay. I thought he'd say something before he left, but he closed his terminal. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue, Rebel.
Yeah, the links LINKS. Can you make links LINKS do things like, you know, when I type links, it just says, welcome to links, and or is it just the way it is?
Well, I mean, if links is a command line program, just type man links, man space and links. You should get all the documentation that there is.
Right.
And if now, not, then I'd look online and you'll probably get everything you need to know and more.
Sometimes links does not work with, it only works with like Google, like you can go to google.com and everything. But if you go to like AmericanAirlines.com or your banking.com, like Citibank.com, any place where you have to like enter a password or give some like personal information, or it does not work. It says please update your browser. If, you know, I mean, they don't like, because when you go to a website, they know what browser you're using.
That's true. Your browser tells them.
So they don't like the browsers that don't, you know, that don't support Java. And so can I make links support Java?
You know, you're asking questions that none of us know the answer to, because we don't use this program.
Well, that's, well, I mean,
but if there are people out there who do know this, we'll certainly, Gila will certainly read their comments there in the chat here.
Do you have any other projects upcoming after all these six?
Projects in terms of computers? Not really. I mean, I don't know, not really. I mean, I just, you know, using, I have, on my laptop, I have Windows 11, and on my regular desktop, I have Linux. I mean, I have Linux Mint.
That's great. Yeah, it's always, I like to stretch, you know, and learn new systems like you're doing, and that's always, it's always nice to have, like, an eclectic environment. It makes you think a little bit more. It's, again, different work, but it's a opportunity also to, like, build some skills and be self-taught, which is, I hate to say it, I mean, there's, it's all this, I guess, knowledge out there, and the ability of using search engines kind of puts people on a course to being independent. If you learn better from others, it can feel a little bit like a knowledge desert, because you don't know what questions to ask, you don't know what to search for with the tools, because you're not even familiar enough to know what you're curious about. You may have an interest in something, but it can take a while to forge the kind of interpersonal and inquisitive route for yourself on whatever project. But like you're finding here, you've met that challenge, you've completed and done one project, and now you have a whole bunch of other questions and new kind of things that you can now do, and just take stock of your abilities. And I encourage other people to do that. Have a diverse number of machines and tools and environments to compare, and then also to do different things. Some are better at others, some OSs, and I mean, just when I was growing up, a lot of the OSs had different implications, and there were different camps, and this was since the hobbying days of personal computers. You know, there would be people that liked one or the other system, but learning them all and being familiar and well-versed in them all is, I think, a healthy and very hacker thing to do. So good luck with your lab. Maybe you're going to be doing some other stuff with your computers.
And, you know, I'm not usually one to suggest this, but in the absence of people around to ask specific questions about, basically, you can try artificial intelligence. If you ask the question in the right way, as specifically as possible, artificial, like, you know, Gemini, for instance, will give you some fairly helpful answers or suggestions. Have you tried using something like that?
I use Google. When you type the question into Google, their artificial intelligence comes up and answers the question, I guess, in a decent way, and I have learned a little bit from that.
Yeah, if you go to just gemini.google.com, if you just want solely the artificial intelligence response, you can have a nice long conversation. It will give you examples of code and things to try. Oftentimes I've gotten some good suggestions that way, but you can also be steered wrong, so don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that. You've been experimenting. I want to tinker with that a little bit too, and just be a little more comfortable, because I haven't actually inquired about that, but I am specifically with related to integration and sort of moving parts and getting different software systems and like checking electrical stuff. Mm-hmm. I think this is something that engineers and software developers and software and electrical engineers know maybe off the top of their heads, but I think that tool specifically can help you answer really complex technical questions, or even with like vintage stuff. We've got like old, just kind of crazy setups with old machines.
Yeah, well, very specific stuff. Like, for instance, we were trying to figure out the difference between one really old model of hardware that's no longer made, hasn't been made in decades, but what's the difference between that and another really old bit of hardware that's no longer made? You can't ask anybody that unless, you know, there's some crusty engineer somewhere who talks about nothing else. But I asked that question, and within 5 seconds, I had a very detailed answer as to what the difference between these two very hard-to-find bits of hardware were.
Exactly. And for a specific piece of software development or an architecture, something you're working on or you're curious about working on, and you want to be more expert than say you are, which is exactly like the comfort zone of every hacker, I think. That tool can really be freeing, and I really want to see that, like, that would have taken, let's say, more investment in power structures and hierarchies of knowledge that maybe privileged access to people that were only in academic, only certain academic programs or under certain research or private organizations, that kind of stuff that only kind of was in these certain cloistered pools of knowledge. Like, it would be very hard to get information. And that was the emergence of, like, having hacker meetings or hackers gathering information online to learn about bigger systems. And I just encourage people to, like, use this stuff to punch above your weight, like, big time, like, way above your weight, because it's I think good enough. And I think learning how to check your work with it, using it to aid what you are working on in every way, while you still, like, while maintaining, if at all possible, like, some control and discretion, which is another kind of freaky thing about the whole integration of the tools you're talking about, E, but they are just sort of tools, so you can maybe curate or compartmentalize those conversations. I'm not sure. I think it's all very interesting, and will accelerate what projects people find are a priority.
Very good, Kyle. What are you doing with yourself? You going to school now?
Why is it? Does it sound like he's a professor?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. You know, I'm just wondering what he's doing. Is he in college?
Wow. I answer that however you wish, Kyle.
Well, I'm not in school right now. I hang out around schools.
Well, don't say it like that.
I
like to do that too, actually.
No, wait. You guys are both going down a bad road here.
No, at the radio stations.
Right. And we're involved with universities and things.
I've been to, like, lectures and stuff like that, but I think the conference being on a campus and some of the, like, academic aspirations are, to me, inspiring. And that was always something around hackers giving talks or hackers sharing in an article, like, that it was always very academic. And even the, like, public speaking of standing in front of people was just, like, so big time, like, so daring and takes so much guts. And to be, like, to be coherent with that and to share something you're really excited about. And everything I, like, first saw in, like, H2K2 videos and then saw myself personally, like, in the audience, it was always so well put together and felt extremely serious and extremely academic. And I like that in contrast to some of the frivolousness. And I know there's good reason for fun and all of that, but the, like, as I said, the sort of resignation and indifference and distraction and let's say escapism, to me is at a point really, 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 really counterproductive, especially when there are so many interests and tools of those interests to control and mediate your speech and the speech environments. And to me, it's just, like, all sort of connecting in my, like, growth and in my, like, interdisciplinary understanding of the world. So yeah, it might sound a little more academic, but I don't know. It's all the same themes.
I hope that answers your question.
Talk about tethering now.
Okay, no, Rebel, we have to move on to other people. There's other people here. We've been on for a long time.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling, and best of luck with Linux and all that. I'm glad to see you're doing fun things. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, if there's anyone else out there who would like to speak with us. Hey, I don't know, you guys, have you been to the 2600 website today? Anyone? Yes? No? I know Kyle has. You're right next to me. Guys, you have voices. You can speak.
I have been to the 2600 website today, yes. And
did you see what's on there now? The cover has come to life.
I did not see that.
I guess you didn't look closely enough. Go to the website right now. Rob,
wow. We'll okay, wait. I'm looking.
Oh my God!
I'm
look at that look of
now.
Shock on their faces. Yes, and everybody should go to it now. And there's two places you can click. You can click on the cover itself on the upper right hand part of the website to go to the store where the cover and the rest of the issue are being sold. Or you can click on full page and get that image full page. It's kind of some of the cool things that our people are up to, and we want to celebrate that. We want to do more things like that, and I'm feeling a lot of inspiration coming from a lot of people. Yes, Gila.
The end was scary, and if I can't sleep tonight, I would like to know if someone at 2600 will like send me a glass of warm milk or something, because
I think that'd be scarier if we did that. But yeah, sure.
I'm just saying this is nightmare fuel, man. If I can't sleep, you guys are responsible.
Well,
this.
If you've seen the cover of the current issue, a lot of people have commented on it and said this is really an awesome cover. Now you can see for yourself what that cover can do in addition to just look like a nice cover.
It is an awesome cover, but.
But what?
It's all scary at the end.
Yeah, but, you know, life is scary.
For your next trick, figure out how to print this on the paper magazine in a way that does this.
Like flipbook style, I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to do that exactly.
Flipbook style.
But, go to 2600.com see the cover on top of the page.
We have a phone call.
We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm sorry I missed Alex, if he has gone, in fact, because I had some possibly useful packing tips about his suit. You know, one, he could put it on and take it off once he's on the plane, put it in a plastic bag. The other is invest some of the savings on the suit and buy a bigger suitcase so he could fit the suit. But if he's gone, he's gone. The other thing I want to comment on, you rightly say that life is scary. Well, your comment is very fitting as of last Tuesday. But specifically, aside from everything else, aside from the evil that this, you know, whatever it's going to be called, I would call it the regime rather than the administration that is already compounding its evil. Concerning Musk, it's a gigantic conflict of interest that, I mean, aside from the waste that a new government department is innately going to propagate, and these are the people who want to save the money, right? Save your taxpayers' dollars, yeah, so they can get some more. I mean, what kind of conflict of interest is a billionaire who's basically become rich with the stupidity of people who invest in his bankrupt schemes and government subsidies, SpaceX and also Tesla get tens of billions of dollars from the U.S. government to develop whatever it is that they're doing. And he's going to be in charge of patrolling government waste? I mean, this is beyond a joke. It's a bad joke. It's not funny. And, we'll see how bankrupt the regime is, because we'll see somebody stops him. I mean, in spite of Trump... I don't even want to say his name, in spite of the aspiring dictator already saying that he should do recess appointments while Congress is in session, by the way. He wants him to go off the reservation again so that he can make his own appointment and they can give up their power of supervision. So we'll see what kind of principle these people may still have.
And, you know, we'll also see...
Are they going to allow this crap?
Yeah, we're also going to see, like, if people stand up to him at all, including the people who voted for him. Because at some point, you know, unless we're all completely wrong, this is going to become unsustainable. And people are going to start realizing this is an awful, awful thing that we're doing. And what now? What do we do? I mean, I don't want to be pointing the finger saying, I told you so. I want to see what people come up with and, you know, get behind that. And, okay, we had our fun, put an end to it now. And let's get on with, you know, things that actually make sense.
I totally agree with you, but the evidence seems to suggest that we are in January 1933. You know, that's what it seems so far. And you know, I like
to draw parallels. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. I'm not saying it couldn't evolve into that, but it's, you know, there are many, many fascist regimes that have started in this world, and there are similarities between all of them, and I see the similarity here as well. But Germany and that part of the century, that was a unique situation for that, and particularly horrible. Maybe in 10 years we'll be in a situation like that. I don't know. I pray nothing like that ever happens again.
I think, unfortunately, it's going to take a lot less. Give it 2 years, and this country will be unrecognizable. You know, I obviously, if I'm talking with you, I still have hope, and I think we can do something. But the signs don't point in that direction for now. The other thing I want to say is that, and then, you know, I'll let someone else speak. I love how Trump said, I say his name again, God saved me so that I could do this. Yeah, God saved Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin from attempts on their lives, too. You know, I don't believe in God, but if he did exist, obviously he has a very wicked sense of humor. You know, it's like, yes, I'm going to save you so you can kill millions and millions. I'm not suggesting that it's going to happen here, but whatever happens, it doesn't look good. And we have to organize, and we have to resist, and we have to seriously start making people think, because this is the problem, you know. I am writing a book about this a while back already, because, you know, it's been going on. Whatever you say to people, they pick up their phones. People don't think anymore. So, you know, when Trump asks again, I say this goddamn name again.
Yeah, you now hold the record. You've said it more than anybody.
Than you were 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we were in lockdown because this fucking idiot couldn't even see that a pandemic was in the offing. He called it the Chinese disease. He let the Chinese appoint somebody to the WHO. He withdrew. There was a fantastic candidate from England. All this you can look up. It's not invented.
Yeah, can you explain that to me? I mean, you know, COVID was under Trump's watch. Now, you know, it wasn't his fault that COVID happened, but it was his fault that we had a very poor response to it compared to many other countries in the world. And it's estimated that 300,000 lives could have been saved had we done a better job. A million in this country were lost altogether. Yet somehow Democrats are blamed for COVID. And they don't defend themselves, you know, and Cuomo gets more blame when he did a far better job than certainly DeSantis ever did, even though the same amount of people died in both states, and certainly better than Trump ever would have done. Yet somehow it's on the Democrats that COVID was a disaster and led to more disasters, including the inflation that we're suffering through right now. Also the Democrats' fault, which, you know, is a global thing. It's just, it boggles my imagination how they get blamed for everything.
You know, in a few words, people have shits for brains. That's really what the problem is. Nobody uses their brains anymore if it's still there, indeed. Because, you know, I'm just staking it to the question, which the bastard even dared to ask. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? 4 years ago, objectively, November of 2020, we were in lockdown. Do you remember what people had to go through in order to vote? It was a nightmare. And just to that. So, of course, we're better off today.
Well,
of
actually, I have to disagree.
I have to
disagree with you on that, which because way? 4 years ago today, I think I was happier than I am now. So, In that regard, I think I was better off then, but for everything else,
But we're talking 2 weeks ago when the bastard was asking the question.
Okay, you know? Two weeks ago, definitely better off then. Yeah, better off now.
Much better.
Better off
and
now than
you know,
then.
Not that I'm a big fan of Biden, no one is. He was the lesser of two evils on a lot of fronts, but he did bring the economy back. He did bring inflation down. He restarted the economic life of this country that had been basically killed. You know, Trump denied the existence of a pandemic until it was impossible to deny because people were dying.
Right. Now, there was
the last country on earth who said there is a pandemic.
A headline in the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal had a headline saying the next president is going to inherit a terrific economy. And that think about that. That's what's going to happen. Trump is going to get a great economy,
and he's going to take all the credit
for it, and Biden will get none.
It's a lot better now. It's a lot better today than it was 2 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah, so things like that keep happening. And it's so frustrating, you know, to see it repeating like that.
Let's hope the next person who calls has something more constructive to say. I don't have much more to offer than this. But keep up the good work, and let's keep organizing, and let's keep talking, because that's what we have to do.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All the best. Bye.
You know, the other thing that gets me, since we're going on this tirade here, everybody seems to point to all the different reasons why Harris lost the race. None of these were reasons that were brought up beforehand by these same people. But now all these people, they know exactly why she lost. Well, you know, if you knew that much, could have said something. But you're full of crap because these reasons, they contradict each other, you know? Not pro-Israel enough, not pro-Palestine enough, you know, embraced all these far-left policies. What far-left policies are we talking about? Human rights, you know, free treatment? Your kids are going off to school and coming back a different sex? That's what they're saying, and it literally was believed. And somehow Democrats got blamed for something that wasn't ever happening. You know, this whole thing with girls' sports. Again, non-issue, something that is very rarely happening. And if it is happening, it needs to be dealt with by the people who are in the sports, not politicians who have no business trying to find out who's in the locker room. It's disgusting. And I don't know how they won with this, but they did. And I think that's the real issue. Okay, another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Good evening, everybody. Tim in Connecticut here.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. I was wondering if you guys happened to see what Jamal Simmons, the former communications director for Kamala Harris, made mention recently about suggesting that Biden step down, allow Kamala to become the 47th president at, for the length of whatever's left. Just to implement some policies, and if nothing else, just screw up Trump's merchandise, which will all say 47th president.
Yeah, you know, I love the idea, but I just, you know, again, if Republicans did that, it would be genius. Everybody would love it. Democrats do that, they'll be widely condemned. And honestly, I think it would just come off as them not taking things too seriously, even though, you know, Trump is making Doge departments and crap like that.
Right.
But I love the idea of them, you know, sticking it to him however they can. What I really would like to see, though, is fast tracking of judges so that.
Right. I mean, you know, the Supreme Court just gave all the power to the presidential spot.
Right.
If Kamala was in the chair, she might be able to implement some.
Yeah, but why can't Biden implement those same things?
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
He should just do that. And I think he's got the guts to do it. And, you know, for what Congress has to be around for, they need to be around, not on vacation. This is an emergency. They need to be here, and they need to make things happen before they can no longer happen. Today, for instance, what Kathy Hochul is doing, tomorrow supposedly it's going to be announced that congestion pricing is back. It's going to be $9 instead of $15. Now, I know a lot of people are against it. It's going to affect me a lot, but I love it. I love the idea of money going into the MTA and of less cars in lower Manhattan and of sticking it to Trump, because if it's already in place before he gets into power, he can't stop it. If it doesn't happen until after, I don't know why it's this way, but if he is in power, he can stop it. It's just kind of...
What it'll do is he won't stop it. He'll just take credit for it.
Well, that'll be the day. But you mean take credit for stopping the program, or take credit for the program working?
Take credit for the program working, just like you'll take credit for having a great economy and you know, better than anyone any other economy on the face of the planet.
Yeah, so you know, I think the goal should be to frustrate him on every level imaginable, unless he actually somehow does something that's good, and I don't see that really happening. You know, another thing, going back to my tirade before, a lot of people say that they were better off 4 years ago because they had more money in the bank. They had more money in the bank because of the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, which many of us are familiar with. And that is something that Trump signed. True, he signed it, but it was brought to him by Congress and introduced by a Democrat. So, you know, somehow he gets credit for that. People think they were better off under him when actually they were simply surviving under a pandemic that he made worse. It's pointless to keep going over this because it's too late, but the facts do need to be known.
So, I mean, all I can do is sit back and go, I could be angry, but apparently there's enough people of voting status that want to stand behind Trump. So,
And enough people who didn't vote.
Sit on the backside, and when my neighbor sees the gas prices go up or inflation go up, or Biden just gives billionaires so many tax cuts that he just ruins the economy again. I'm sorry, if Trump does that, like the $2 trillion that he gave away in the first presidency.
Yeah, and on the subject of gas prices, they're super cheap. And they have been for a while. $2.29 for regular. I mean, how much lower? It's gonna be, you know, approaching 20th century prices, or even before that, you know, like 1980s or something. But you know, different states. You know, Texas, for instance, much more expensive than New York. Texas is run by Republicans. New York is run by Democrats. So, you know, how come Democrats still get blamed? I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the we won't stoop to their level of just saying anything that's nonsense, and I dare you to prove me wrong.
Yeah, but, well, sometimes you got to stoop. Yeah. Sometimes you got to play on the same field.
All righty, I'll let somebody else chime in.
Okay, thanks for your call, Tim.
Sure, have a great night.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Yeah, let's talk about something else. I'm just getting frustrated because it just seems so obvious to me, and it just we don't seem to learn.
I'm happy to talk about something else.
Yeah.
All right. I have so many I don't know, thoughts on this, but it is something to be, I think, vigilant over and to plan, make. Maybe some of these ideas are good. That's why they're surfacing.
Wait, we're talking about the same thing now.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about something else.
No, I'm with it, but I just don't have anything.
Gila has something else. Yes, Gila.
Okay, I have something else, and this is just fun and ridiculous and silly, and an importance of the reminder of checking the DNS before you decide to publicize a website.
Oh, yes. I know the story you're talking about. Go ahead.
I know you do. So as most people know, because I think you have to have been hiding under a rock not to know this by this point, but the first movie of the two that is being made out of the musical Wicked is coming to theaters worldwide a week from Friday on the 22nd. And obviously there are tie-in things all over the place, and Mattel has rolled out a line of dolls of the characters, and they very helpfully printed the URL for a website on the packaging. Now, the movie's called Wicked, so they decided to put www.wicked.com on the packaging. Let me tell you that is not the URL. The movie URL is wickedmovie.com, because wicked.com was already taken by a site that you decidedly do not want to direct your children to. So apparently now Mattel is like, oh my God, we're so sorry. We didn't do this on purpose. If you have the packaging, you should destroy the URL.
I would save it because it's probably a collector's item.
I'm sure. But also, I guess the other question is, if these things are in fact intended for children, do we need the URL on them? And if they are in fact for collectors, then why are we freaking out about who's going to protect the children? So I was just entertained by, and I also got to explain cyber squatting to a friend of mine this morning who had never heard of the concept. By no means am I suggesting, by the way, that the adult media producer Wicked Films is cyber squatting on the domain that should belong to the Wicked musical. I have a lot of thoughts about the Wicked musical. None of them are good. But, you know, just make sure you're checking your stuff before you send it up. Yeah,
on that note, we have a couple of porn sites ourselves that we have to get rid of. Let me explain what I mean. We don't actually have porn sites. We have porn domains. Back in the days, I think it was HopeX, we went all in on the letter X, and it turned out that was about the time when the XXX domain, top-level domain, was made available. And we were able to not only get 2600.xxx, but we got two other sites that had a whole bunch of X's and nothing else. I think one had like 30 X's .xxx, and one had like 60. Ridiculous number of X's. But it was cool because you could put it in a URL, and it looked like the URL was censored, yet it would go to 2600.com. So it was neat for that effect. But it's expensive, and we're sick of it. We don't want to keep having to pay for this every year, even when we don't use it anymore. So we're either going to just let it expire, or if somebody wants it and can offer us a fair price, we'll listen. OTH at 2600.com. If you run a porn site or something, or if you want to run a porn site, you have to join some kind of adult community to do this. But apparently they let anybody join because they let us join. We don't have to have material.
We are not a community of adults.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. Adult in that context. I don't know how they got the word.
I actually don't
you
know
don't
what
know.
You mean.
Then maybe
I don't know
you're
what you
not
mean.
An adult then.
Can you tell me?
No, I'm not going to explain. It's for adults only. So we have two of those domains. And, it would be nice if some, you know, like Porn King somewhere said, yeah, I could use those. Whoa. Honestly, I can't imagine how you could use them, because who would type that many X's? It just looked really cool, XX, because we would replace www with XXX. So it'd be XXX dot and then 60 X's dot XXX. And that worked. But it's no longer cool. It's just expensive. So, if you want it, it's yours. Gila, go ahead.
Just say I'm not raising my hand because I want to buy the domain from you guys. I just want to clarify that.
If this was an auction, you would have already bought it.
Sold.
That's how it works.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. Did have a listener question I wanted to pass along, which is, how many domain names does 2600 have currently?
Oh, if only we knew that. I mean, seriously, it's like we should have kept a list somewhere. But now it's anyone's guess. I mean, you tell us. You probably have a better idea than we do.
Let's say it's more than enough.
It's more than anyone would ever need. And we just lose track of them sometimes. They're in different countries. All domains you could possibly imagine, anything with 2600 or close to 2600. We're trying to clean house a little bit.
Well, we might want to go shopping for some new ones, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you got to make room.
And a lot of people run domains for us, too. Like, they control the domain, but they point it to us and various other things like that. Like, it was so nice of the military. 2600.mil went to us for a while. No, I'm kidding. That never happened. We wanted it to, but it never happened.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if we still want it to happen, but yeah, it would be cool. It would be neat. If there's anyone in the military that has connections, then we can talk about that.
You know how to find us.
Yeah. Any phone calls on the line?
I'm waiting for one,
okay.
But the line is open. The
line is open, but only for the next 2 minutes, because we're about at the end of our hour
our,
here.
Our heart cut off.
Yeah, 802-321-4225 is a phone number.
Hello.
There's nobody there yet.
Hello.
OTH at 2600.com is our email address. Anything else we need to tell people? Check out the cover on 2600.com. It's really cool and scary.
There were suggestions to my I think facetious comment that you should find a way to print it in the magazine so that it'll move like that. And a lot of people suggested a 3D lenticular lens. Actually, 47 suggested that. So if you remember those old lenticular lenses that you would tilt it and it would change the image, maybe that would be a fun way to animate.
How is that going to get into a printed magazine?
It's so costly. I mean, it sounds fun. It might be a cool, like, limited Etsy run or something, but not practical for scale.
Unless somebody covers the cost.
If you want to fund it, though, we can talk.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way you can print the image and it'll look like nonsense without the lens, and then just have people supply their own lens.
Oh, like you do like two glossy pages with it that then can be interleaved somehow. But I don't know. You'd probably have to like laser cut some slits. Okay, well,
while you folks are dreaming in fantasy land, did we have a phone call come in?
This is not a core business activity.
Sounded like we might have.
There is a call, yes.
There is a call. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead. Hello, speak up. We need words, not tones. Anyone there? No. Did you say that was Rebel's number?
It may or may not be okay. Rebel. So
better not do that, Rebel.
I just want to say that the phone line is now open, but
for another
soon
minute,
to be closed.
That's it. And if that happens again, it's closed. Yeah. Okay.
So, how about how about those payphone booths?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of crosstalk. That's what I hear on the line. A lot of crosstalk these days.
I could mention just an amusing anecdote that yesterday I was in Times Square waiting for a length of time. Yeah.
No, hilarious. That's not it? Okay. You let me know.
But no, there was a, you know, they have all the animated screens everywhere, the huge billboards. And one of them was for Clear Channel. And I happened to glance at it just as a Windows update pop-up happened across this huge billboard. But unfortunately, somebody clicked it before I could get a photo.
Did they actually click it? You saw a little pointer move to the box and they clicked it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Someone somewhere moved a mouse and clicked on the, install Windows
and
update or whatever.
They could be listening. If you're listening, we want to hear from you and tell us what that's like to see your activity on a computer show up in Times Square on a big billboard. Yes, Gila.
Was that the same billboard that was having a different issue 2 days earlier?
That was a different billboard.
It would explain why they need an update, but okay, I guess they're having all kinds of problems. So,
on Sunday, we're also in the area. It's a very theatrical weekend. And one of the billboards like wraps around a building was mostly entirely black. And there was one little frame of picture dead center because somebody had not like hit full screen on whatever was running. It was very funny.
Oh, wow. They had to click the little thing on the bottom right to make it full screen.
Mm-hmm. Or just like double click on it or whatever. But yeah, nothing. It was so funny. There's a lot of black space.
Yeah. The malfunctions are so much more fun to look at than the actual ads.
That is true.
All right, you know what? We're going to pack it in because we don't have a call and we're tired. So thanks, everybody. OTH@29600.com is our email address. We will be back next week, 7 o'clock on WBAI, 8 o'clock here on Overtime. And until then, stay safe and let us know what you notice and any ideas or feedback.
Yes, go forth and abuse technology.
Yeah, that's what it's there for. Good night.